You know, the Memorial Day weekend, they said there's over 40 million people traveling this weekend. And it seems strange, but I think I ran into most of them on 95 yesterday when we were out on the highway. But Memorial Day weekend, you know, a time when we remember all of those that gave their lives for this country. And we're a blessed people, aren't we? Amen. God has blessed us and allowed us to grow up in a nation that has been free, and we've been able to, without restraint, preach this gospel. And thankfully, still to this day, we see it diminishing around us, corroding, collapsing around us, but we've been a blessed people, and we do remember those who offered up their lives as sacrifices. But most importantly, we remember the one who offered up his life for our redemption. Amen? For our salvation. And we take this time to honor him, to worship him. He's done so many good things beyond our imagination, innumerable. We are so blessed. And Father, we come to you this morning with hearts of thanksgiving. We do thank you for the privilege of growing up in a nation that's allowed us these liberties. But at the same time, the tragedy of those who, having been given this liberty, thumb their noses at it, have consumed their time and their energy, their lives upon themselves. And Father, in the midst of all of this affluence, in the midst of all of this nation's deification of man and intellect, we ask that we could continue to be that shining light upon a hill. We ask that we could be a people, Lord, who might be that salt of the earth. Father, we realize we are but a remnant, but a little leaven can leaven the whole lump. Make us righteous leaven in the midst of this generation. Help us to, Lord, influence those that we come in contact with. Let us be accurate representations of your lordship. It's our heart's desire. We want to be used of you, Lord. And as we go into your word this morning, in remembrance of the heart's cry of Moses, we long for one thing, Lord. Not the affluence, not the prosperity of a new land that flows with milk and honey. Not just lives of victory, but we ask, we cry out to you this morning for your presence in our lives. Father, don't allow us to be distracted in this hour. The time is short. The day of your return is at hand. The night is coming when no man can work. Show us your glory, Lord. Oh God, show us your glory, that we might be able to stand in this hour. And for that, we'll give you all the praise, Lord. We'll give you all of that honor in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Exodus 33, the heart's cry of Moses. What a great revelation this is in the 33rd chapter of Exodus. Moses, having received the tablets, having broken them, coming down from the mountain and finding the people in revelry and partying, erecting idols, going back to the world, This was the full intent, of course. You know, they had waited for God to speak and to move and for Moses to return. And when he had not, then isn't it so interesting how quickly we revert back to the natural? Isn't it sad how many times we revert back to the natural when God doesn't answer our prayers immediately? When His presence doesn't come and manifest in the way or in the timing that we think it should? We hear the voices of those around us saying, we don't know about Moses, we don't know what's happened to him. But all we do know is it's been rough here in the midst of this trial and these tribulations that we've been in. Let's go back to Egypt. And there's always those that are willing to rise up and become leaders of their own call and their own bidding to cause others to rally around them and tell people what they want to hear. We see all of this that's manifesting itself in the absence of the man of God. And when he comes down and he's angered, and we know how he then throws the tablets before them and the judgment of God that manifests itself. But then he begins to make intercession, and we find this in the 32nd chapter. Having called them and said, whoever's on the Lord's side, verse 26, come and stand here. And then, of course, we see this thing that is so many times perplexing to our natural minds. You know, the scripture says that a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Jesus makes that so clear in Matthew, the 10th chapter. You know, we are today still suffering persecution for our very stand on that principle. When we take a stand and there begins to be judgment in the house of God, there begins to be a cry and a stand for holiness in the church of God. And we find that many then who don't want to serve, don't want to bow their knee, but still want to name the name of Jesus, are offended. God brings that sword and He divides homes 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. And because of the worship of the natural families, in our society today, any who are not compromising and deifying family more than the glory and holiness of God are accused of bigotry and hatred and division. We live in an hour when tolerance is toted as the highest form of humane behavior. And in the midst of all of that, we stand to represent a holy God. Amen? Separate. And we're going to look again today at the names of God. And we're going to look at God's holiness and His uniqueness. And how we will be expected in this last day to make that choice. Whoever's on God's side, come over here. Amen? And we're going to be hated for it, and we're going to be persecuted for it, as we already are in this fellowship. You know, the people still, you know, we're being harassed still by different reporters and different things going on because of a handful of people that are running around whining that their families have been broken up and are being held hostage somehow in our midst. It looks this morning like a few escaped, as you look around, but you know, anyway, you know, this spirit of man that is so contrary to the righteousness and the holiness of God that there is only one way, praise God. No other name under heaven whereby men can be saved but the name of Jesus. Amen? And we're called to stand up proud, and we're called to herald that name from the housetops today. And we will be hated for His name's sake, the Scripture says. And so don't only expect it, rejoice in it when it comes. Amen? What a privilege, the disciples said. What a privilege we have when they went back to report to the rest of the believers that they were able to be beaten, imprisoned for His name's sake. Do you think you could count that a privilege today? What would be our response today to an unjust beating physically? How about the fact that we see that their goods, their homes, and this was all the way up in through the history of Christianity, all the way up into the 15, 1600s. Christians would have all of their means confiscated. They would be imprisoned just because they identified with the name of Jesus. What a privilege. And I think it'd be good for us to begin to direct our thinking in that way, because this hour is upon us. And so we get back to where we were here, and we see that Moses then is on God's side, and he calls the remnant to himself. And then he says in verse 27, look at this, slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. Now, you know, this is going to go on into the law, isn't it? As we see the law finally being established, and we're going to see that the Scripture is very clear that anybody in our midst who would cause division and draw other people away to serve another God, that the family members should be the first one to lay their hands on them. And man, I'm stuck in this area for some reason. I don't know why. I'll follow it through and see. But it's tragic that so many of us in here do exactly the opposite. We push it as far as we can to protect, to cater to cover up for family members, instead of being the first ones to expose them and deal with the sin, and if necessary, bring about the justice and judgment of God. Rebuke before all, that all may fear. Amen? And that statement is for the eldership. And we've seen that here in our midst. And that there is to be no respect of persons. That God is to be all in all. And so if we're going to honor His name, this is one of the ways that we most honor that name, is in letting Him be holy, letting Him be unique, letting Him be supreme, praise God. I am Almighty God. Stand before me, walk before me, and be perfect, He told Abraham in the 17th chapter of Genesis. The call that's upon us today to make God big, to make God supreme. And how there is that satanic wile that's moving today in the churches of choosing man over God. Just tragic. It's heartbreaking. But when we look at the absolute severity of God's justice being manifested here, and it says they did according to the word of God, And they consecrated themselves, verse 29, unto the Lord. And then Moses begins to intercede for the people of God. A compassion in his heart, a love for those that are broken in our midst. And he says, now Lord, please forgive the sins of your people. Now they just made a right decision to come to God's side. But they had been caught up in idolatry and in revelry. There was sin in their midst that needed to be repented of. They did a work for God, but they needed a heart change. Many of us seem to think that when we turn around and do something good for God, that we level the playing field. No, God isn't moved by our performance. God is moved by our heart attitude and our recognition of our neediness and the need for our repentance so that He can then reconcile us back to Himself and in favor with Himself based upon His grace and His grace alone. So Moses interceding here says, forgive their sins. And if not, this is one of the great intercessory prayers of all time. And if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book. And God speaking to him in paraphrase saying, you're not going to be blotted out of the book. And besides, your life isn't sufficient to bring about anybody's redemption or deliverance. You could trade your life for theirs and you'd just be one sinner dying for another. It's not sufficient. Isn't it amazing how many times we want to be Savior and lay our lives down to protect loved ones or to intervene or something, and we have no capacity. Jesus alone gives His life. Amen. But it's admirable what Moses is doing here. He's showing his love for the people. And God responding to him says, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore, go and lead the people. And so we know the story as it continues on here, the narrative, and God says, now I'm going to separate myself from you because you people are a stiff-necked people. You're so prone to idolatry. And he says, so I'm not going to go with you, but I'll send an angel before you and allow you to enter into this promised land. You know, we've talked about this a number of times in the past. It's tragic how many people would be satisfied with just a great, comfortable, prosperous, peaceful life and call it the promises. Look at the blessings of God. God has blessed me with all these things. There's so many of us that would be satisfied with God's blessings, even with the absence of His presence. I think all of us need to search our hearts as it pertains to this tendency. You see, many of our prayers, many of our desires that we as a people here are seeking. We have people in our midst that are dying. We have people in our midst that are suffering, constant pain and suffering. We're battling diseases. We have families that are in turmoil and conflict. We have children who have defected from the faith. All of these things that are heartbreaking. All of these things that are part of the human condition. The consequences of man's sin. And we get so caught up in wanting to get healed and wanting to get free from this heartache and wanting to be able to just get out from under the pressures of life, and we're asking God, somehow deliver me, Lord, somehow bless us with the answers to prayer. Where is the heart for, Lord, I know this is your desire to deliver me, and I believe that all of your promises are yea and amen. But I'm not moved by these circumstances. And in fact, the scripture says it's in the midst of these trials and tribulations that I can get to know your presence even better. Let it be about your presence and not my deliverance. Amen. Let this hour be about your presence, about me being able to embrace you. And in my weakest moments, your strength to be perfected in me. For your grace is sufficient, praise God. What a hard attitude, amen? That's counting it all joy in the midst of temptations, tests, and trials. When in the midst of those things, we begin to delight in the presence of God. We begin to boast in his presence and his love for us. And so Moses is sitting here and God says, I'm going to send an angel. I will send you into this land. It flows with milk and honey. You'll have all of the resources you need financially. Your enemies will not prosper. You're going to live in peace. You're going to live in homes that you didn't build and drink from wells that you didn't dig. It's going to be a religious experience. My angels will be there. But I'm not going. And Moses' response was, Lord, verse 13, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, and that I might find grace in your sight. And God responded to him then as Moses said, I'm not going. If you don't go, I'm not going. If your presence, verse 15, go not with me, carry me not hence. For wherein shall it be known that I and your people have found grace in your sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated. A separated people unto God. A holy nation, a royal priesthood. We want to be those unique people. We want to identify with you. You know, today we're living, you know, in this humanistic nation, and we know that there's within man that aspect of the goodness that came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that originates from human empathy, of self-righteousness, and that becomes the worship of the creature more than the creator. And men are content with that. Men revel in that. Men boast in that, in their goodness. And as Christians, we can't deny that people do good things. But we've shared many times, good is not always godly. And the source of all of our goodness needs to be identified with the presence of God. Amen? That cup of cold water, it's not enough to give a cup of cold water. It's in His name that we give it. That the glory, the excellency, Paul said, might be of God and not of us. And so Moses is responding in this, and he said, I don't want to go just to have this victorious life. We want to go as representatives of your great covenant with Abraham. We are a unique people. My life is given over, as we sang this morning, to your glory. I delight, that chorus said, to give my life to you. Amen? Is it a delight to turn your life over to Jesus this morning? Is it something that we look for? How much more of myself can I give over to the glory of God? Not to personal gain, recognition, benefits, whether they be psychological, physical, but the high calling of servanthood to the glory of God. And so with all of that, Moses then says, it's your presence I want. It's not your blessings. It's your presence I want. And God says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. In answer to your prayer, in answer to your faithfulness. Verse 19, I will make my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now you can't see my face. No one can see me and live. But he said, I will go before you, and I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. We know the scriptures. I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall you not see. Now, in all that, there's a very interesting thing. He says, my presence is going to go with you. And then he says, and I will declare the name of the Lord. And this is what we started to take a look at on Wednesday night. Asking, you know, what is it in a name? And we know that these Hebrew names especially, they all had meaning to them. And as we look at these revelations that God gives of himself, the reason this is so important is that in this last hour, when false prophets begin to arise, when men are heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears, just, you know, receiving new revelations of God. You know, we hear people saying things like, my God would never do that, right? In fact, many people in direct opposition to Scripture. My God would never be the cause of breaking up a family. My God is a God of love. Well, God is love. Amen? God doesn't just love, God is the source of love. God is absolutely love in infinitude. There's no limit to his love. But you see, we have to know more about God than the fact that God is love. Because he reveals himself in the scriptures through these names in so many different ways. He is also Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Amen. God is also righteous. He does what's right and just at all times. And in that righteousness, he is no respecter of persons. And that's why he proclaims, as he just did to Moses, I will bring judgment upon those that deserve judgment, and I will give mercy to those who desire and deserve mercy. Now, mercy is deserved, if we use that term. It's the wrong term, actually. It's not deserved. It's obtained. But the scripture says the merciful shall obtain mercy. Amen? And so as God starts to reveal himself to Moses, we learn so much about him. I think it's difficult to pray effectively and to believe God for certain things in our lives when we don't really understand who he is. And in his, as we've shared many times, in his unitary essence, how he answers prayer in ways that are so praying is simple. Answers to prayer can become very complicated. And so when God is in the character of who he is, all of his combined attributes, is responding to us, it doesn't always come in some little simple package. And you can't put it in a little box. And the more we know about God, the less confused and discouraged we get. The more we know him, the more we can expect of him. The prophet, when he says, call upon me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. God's got some stuff out there that'll blow your mind that you're not even aware of what he could do on your behalf. Amen? And not only can do, but wants to do. And from the divine perspective, not only wants to do, it's already done in the eternal realm. He's already proclaimed your victory. You just haven't obtained it yet. And so we rejoice in him and we delight in him for his majesty and his greatness. When God visited Abraham and Sarah and told him that they were going to have a child, and Sarah laughed at God, and God said, why'd you laugh? I didn't laugh. He said, yes, you did. Can I just share something with you? Own up to your doubts. Amen. Just go to God and say, I don't have faith to believe for that right now. Amen. But it's your promise. You're going to have to do your thing. I mean, you're faithful to yourself. But I don't have the faith right now to believe for that. I'm in a place right now where I am so weary, I can't pray. All I can do is just groan. We've all had experiences like that. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I'm not going to help your unbelief, you dirty dog, until you begin to get five Our Fathers and a couple of Hail Marys in, and you begin to walk righteously, and you start fasting and praying. I want you tonight to memorize 119th Psalm, or you're going down. Now, none of us would say that, but when we're being beat up, these things come into our minds. They attack us. Amen. All these fiery darts. And we've got to know who God is. Because that's who you're relying on at that moment. You're just laying there and you're out, man, without his intervention. Shall I, being old, be able to have this favor? And then that verse that we're all very familiar with, the question being asked, is anything too hard for the Lord? Hallelujah. No, you're going to have a child. You got Sarah doubting. You've got Abraham doubting. Lord, bless Ishmael. I'm going to bless Ishmael, but he's not the promise. Amen? You know, it's funny how doubt works and in our lives. You know, this whole time Abraham's walking in faith, man, and I'm not, we know the great faith of Abraham, and the scripture tells us in Romans 4 that Abraham was strong in faith and gave glory to God. But you know, we see in his life as he's walking this thing out, up until chapter 17 of Genesis, you know, Abraham's believing God and, you know, he had the better idea where he agreed with Sarah and Hagar comes in and they produce this little Ishmael, and Abraham's trying to say, okay, you know, bless Ishmael. Maybe it's going to be through Ishmael that the promise comes. And until he lost, this is the part I wanted to make for us to grab a hold of, until his body was now dead. We can preach faith while it's Sarah's body that's dead. We're just believing God, honey. Just hang on there. God will answer. Praise God. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. Now his body's dead and it's like, now what's God gonna do? Well, he usually has to get you out of the way before he can show what he's gonna do. Amen? What a great God we serve. Now I'm way off course, so let's get back. And we find him saying, and I will show you my name, my presence, but I like this. If we look at this in context, he's saying, you're going to know me not by this visitation, but you're going to know me by my name, by my revelation to you of who I am. And of course, that's done today by this more sure word of prophecy. Amen. So we're not knowing God through visitations. We're knowing God through revelation of his word, who he's promised, or who he's revealed himself to be, and what he's promised us through the covenants that have been cut in his name. And each of these names carry with them great and mighty promises. And so the scripture goes on to say then down in chapter 34, the Lord descended in the cloud and he proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord stood before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness. And I want to talk about a few of those attributes. Abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. He visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. And so we see justice and righteousness of God and his revealing of himself. Let's talk for just a moment about how God is showing himself here. We talked last Wednesday about this aspect where he shows himself here as Almighty God, El Shaddai, the one who provides. When we see the name Elohim and we look at that name as God reveals himself, we know that it means supreme, almighty, abundance of power. So when we see that name Elohim that's being used, Almighty God, it talks about, of course, his omnipotence. It reveals with it other character traits or attributes of God. His omniscience. His omnipresence. Those aspects of the attributes of God all come to view in this revelation of Elohim, Almighty God. Now stop and think for just a moment. And these are all simple things to us, but we just want to spend a little bit of time thinking about it. There's a lot of gods that are promoted. There's a lot of credibility given to the kingdom of darkness. Don't ever forget, Satan is a created being. Amen? He comes and boasts. Now, I'm not minimizing the authority that he holds. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that he is the God of this world system. Amen? His ability to blind eyes. Now think for just a moment. He is called the God of this world. We know that there are the created gods that are non-existent, the mythological gods that are not gods, the Hindu gods that are not gods. Now, these gods that were created many times have associated with them, as these different religions are created, demonic powers associate themselves with these different man-made religions. And sometimes you'll see supernatural manifestations within them. There will be visitations of angels that come. The Bible says Satan comes as what? An angel of light. And so we'll see that angels, fallen angels can come and associate themselves. They come as angels of light. Many of them can be promoting morality and of course, you know, the different aspects that are appealing to the mind of man. Many of them are religions of self-justification. And in the midst of all of that, Satan is orchestrating all of these man-made religions. And he is the authority. When we talk about God, we're talking about sovereignty, we're talking about lordship, and God acknowledges that genuine authority of Satan on this planet. And I'm just saying all that to say this. Don't forget that Satan is mighty. God is almighty. Amen? And Satan is a creature. Satan had a point of origin. God is eternal. And it's his eternal essence that gives him this foreknowledge, how we describe it, of God knowing what's going to happen in the future, because he lives in the future in that he lives in the present, past, and future simultaneously. There is no time with God. Everything is momentary. That's why God isn't sweating over your problems. He already sees them solved. Praise God. I am Almighty God. Now remember why some of this revelation is going on. He's getting ready to go face a deity. All of these gods of the Middle East. He's going to go warring with Molech and Baal. He's already dealt with the gods of Egypt, Pharaoh himself, a proclaimed deity. He's had the encounter already at the burning bush. Who shall I say sent me? You tell him I am has sent you. One of the great revelations comes to us in that aspect when Moses goes before the Lord and he said, look, if I'm going to go represent you, I've got to go in a name. I've got to go with some legitimate authority that's backing me up. Aren't you thankful for the name that we've received? Amen. The name of Jesus. I'm not sending you out there without authority. You take my name, and in my name you'll cast out devils and you'll heal the sick and you'll raise the dead. And he proclaimed the name of the Lord. You know, we think about the name of the Lord, and when I think about that, sometimes my mind just drifts off into the scriptures, and you just think of the Lord, and He's the lily of the valley. Amen? He's the rose of Sharon. He's the bright and morning star. His name is Wonderful Counselor. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the door of the sheepfold. He's the light of the world. All that God is and that He's revealed Himself to be resides within us. And as the Holy Spirit guides us, He causes us to remember these revelations. And when you feel like you don't have anywhere to turn, look at verse 7 again of this 34th chapter. His mercy is forever, and He forgives the iniquity of transgressions and sins. Verse 6 said He is merciful and gracious and long-suffering. Do you need to know that about God this morning? Is anybody here this morning under condemnation? Is anybody here this morning defeated in your own strength? You're like that person we were just discussing a little bit earlier. You feel like you're just hanging on. There's no life in you that you're aware of. You feel like you're a failure in the kingdom. Oh, beloved, He appeared here to Moses years ago and said, I want you to know who I am. I am the merciful, gracious, long-suffering God, forgiving iniquities. Amen? My mercies endure forever. It's by grace that you are saved through faith. It's not of works. And He encourages us this morning in that great and mighty name. Tonight we're going to look at the seven redemptive names of Jehovah. We didn't get to where we were hoping to this morning, but my main goal is that we could just come and look into God's Word and begin to see His revelation of Himself, that we could make Him big, praise God, in our eyes and in our praise and in our worship. He's worthy of His creation to rise up and declare His majesty. To declare that He is the God who is present. And since He is present, He is the God I am who will. What do you need this morning? Let's stand before the Lord this morning and take just a moment and ask yourself, what is it that God is needing to reveal Himself to be in my life this morning? Are there any areas where I sense the lack of faith or trust or hope? Are there areas where I feel discouraged this morning? He said, I am the Lord and I change not. What He was for Abraham, He will be for you. What He was to Moses, He will be to you. Do you have need of Him to reveal Himself to you this morning? Just cry out to Him as Moses did. Lord, show me Your glory. Reveal Yourself to me this morning. I need You as healer this morning. I need You as deliverer this morning. I need You to deliver my mind. I've gotten the stronghold taken place in my mind. I need You to deliver me this morning. I need You to show Yourself as Jehovah Shalom, the peace of God. I am so anxious. I am so fearful. I am so worried. Show Your presence to me through Your mighty name, Jehovah Shalom, my peace. You've revealed Yourself to be that peace that passes understanding. I'll show You my glory. Call on me. Recognize that I am, that I am. I'm all sufficient. I am whatever You need me to be this morning. Do you want to know what I am this morning? I am Your Heavenly Father. I love You, my child. And in the midst of my chastening, because I love You, I will give You all grace necessary to stand. You will not fail. You will not faint. For I will never leave you nor forsake you. What do you need Him to be this morning? Father, stir our hearts to recognize Your majesty. Those of us who have laughed like Sarah, forgive us, Lord, for nothing is impossible to You. We've been seduced by the God of Mammon. You are merciful, and we ask You, Lord, to deliver us and to forgive us. You've said You're Almighty God, and we're to walk before You and be perfect, mature, complete. How great You are. the Holy One. You transcend all that is in your great uniqueness. You stand separate. There's none in your class. And you're our Father. Hallelujah. Do your work, Lord. Show us your presence this morning. Do your work in hearts and minds at this very moment. Father, we've tried to make you big here this morning. Now show yourself mighty. Father, all that we lacked in being able to represent you, you show yourself now in the hearts of your people. Be that peace and that deliverance, that healing. Lord, we'll give you all the glory for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Before we go this morning, turn to somebody next to you and say, He's Almighty and He's my Father. Praise God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.